overcoming the enemy. Our verses will be Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, and Luke chapter 13, verses 10 through 17. First for Ephesians. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Now for Luke chapter 13, verses 10 through 17. On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue ruler said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." The Lord answered him, "You hypocrites! Doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" When he said this, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Marty. I failed to identify myself again this morning. Sometimes I do that. My name's Doug Waite, and I'm just blessed to be the pastor of this church. I've been doing quite a long series here on, I didn't intend to do it this way, but it just worked out this way, on some of the most important topics in Christianity. Last week we talked about God cares how you spend your money. And today I want to talk about overcoming the enemy. A very important topic. We don't often hear sermons on it. We are at war. Did you hear me? We are at war. And it's not war with Iran. It's not war with the Taliban. It's not war with Al-Qaeda. It's not war with the Alan Lanzes of this world in Newtown, Connecticut. It's not war with Jimmy D. Dykes in Alabama and people like him. We are at war with Satan and his forces as Christians. Now, we don't hear a lot about Satan in the Hebrew Scriptures. In fact, he's only mentioned 3 times. And just is portrayed in kind of an adversarial relationship to the Lord. It isn't until we get to the New Testament and the ministry of our Lord Jesus that we get a fuller picture of just who Satan is and what he does. Now, you might remember that Jesus was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came out of the water, he was then baptized in the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God came upon him, and there was the voice from heaven, from our Father. And then Jesus was led into the wilderness where he fasted and prayed for 40 days. And at the end of that time, Satan came to Jesus. We read about it in Matthew 4. The devil took him to a very high mountain. Now, he brought 3 temptations to Jesus. And this is the last one. He took him to a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And I've often wondered, was it just in that generation, or did he show him all the splendors of the world for all time? I tend to think it was the latter. including the United States of America and everything that would come after it, and Rome, all the kingdoms of all time, and said to Jesus, "All this I will give to you." Apparently, Satan had that kind of authority and power to offer our Lord Jesus all these kingdoms. And he said, "If you bow down and worship me." Now, we're not exactly sure who Satan is, but we think that he's a fallen angel. And he, the creation, you know, angels are created. The creation is saying to the Creator, you know, all things were created through Jesus. He's the Word of God made flesh. The creation is saying to the Creator, bow down and worship me. The audacity. And what is Jesus' response? Let's say it together. "Away from me, Satan." And then he quotes from Deuteronomy. "You shall worship only the Lord your God and serve him only." And then what happened? Let's read that. The devil left him. Because whenever Jesus says, "Away from me, Satan," the devil has to leave because Jesus is the Holy One. I love that song the band sang today. Jesus is the Holy One. Now, Jesus went on and described in other places who Satan was. We read in a couple of passages in John. First of all, John 8:44. Jesus says he was talking to the religious leaders who were plotting to kill him. "You belong to your father, the devil." Now that's a nice way to start a conversation, isn't it? "And you want to carry out your father's desire." He was a murderer from the beginning. This is from the words from our Lord. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, because there's no truth in him. He has no truth. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and he's the father of lies. All lies, all untruth comes from him. Now down here in John 10:10, just two chapters past this, Jesus is talking about Satan again. He says, "The thief," that's what he calls him, "the thief, he comes to kill, to steal, to destroy." And then Jesus says what he does. "I've come that they might have life and have it to the full." So he kills, he steals, he destroys, he lies, he murders. That's who Satan is. And we see his work every day, don't we? Every day. That's who's behind the Alan Lanzas of this world. That's who's behind the Jimmy Kyle, whatever his name is, in Alabama. That's who's behind North Korea. That's who's behind Iran. That is our enemy. That's who's behind Al-Qaeda. That's who's behind terrorism. Not human beings. Satan uses human beings. But they're not the source. They're not the source. That passage we read this morning from Luke. Luke 13. Jesus walks into a synagogue. He's teaching there. And there's a woman there who has been bound by Satan for 18 years. And she's probably something like this. And she's like this in the synagogue. And Jesus walks in and he looks at her. And he has a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, discerning of spirits. He knows that Satan has done that to her. Now, I hope to do one sermon this month on healing. And there are many sources of sickness. There's our fallen nature, just the fact, and our fallen world. We live in a fallen world with fallen and a fallen nature, and so sickness comes from that. We abuse our bodies and our minds, and sickness comes from that. Sometimes God brings sickness. Yes, sometimes God does. It's rare, but sometimes He does. And then finally, some sickness is from Satan. Not all of it, but some of it. And in this case, this was a woman who Satan had bent over like this, a spirit from him, and she was like this for 18 years. And Jesus came in, He knew what it was, He called to her, He said, "Come here, woman, because you are going to be set free." And then He reached out and He touched her, and immediately she stood up. Now, can you imagine what that must have been like for her? 18 years she had been doubled over by this spirit. And what was the response of the religious leaders in the synagogue? They were indignant. Why? Because Jesus was divisive. Yes, Jesus was divisive. Look up the definition of divisiveness. Jesus was divisive all the time. He knew what the response would be, and He did it anyway because He wanted to set that woman free. And then He looked at those religious leaders and He called them hypocrites, because they'd go out and take care of their donkey or their ox on the Sabbath. That was the whole issue. He was out there healing on the Sabbath. And you weren't supposed to work on the Sabbath. And Jesus says to these guys, "Well, you untie your ox and give him water on the Sabbath. Shouldn't I untie this woman that Satan's had bound for 18 years?" Jesus spent 25% of His ministry setting people free from demonic power. 25%. He spent 90% of His ministry healing the sick. And 25% setting people free from Satan's power. He gave that authority to His own disciples. He replied to them, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample snakes and scorpions, to overcome all the power of the enemy, and nothing will harm you." And they went out and they began to do the same things that Jesus did. And after He was raised from the dead, Jesus said, "All authority and power has been given unto me." That meant Satan now is a defeated enemy. Yes, he's our enemy and we are at war, but he is defeated. And He gave His authority to His followers. Are you His followers? Do you have Jesus in your heart? Then you have authority over Satan and his forces. Do you know that? And we see in the book of Acts, the first 30 years of the church, we see after the resurrection and the ascension, we see His disciples going out there. Acts 16, we see Paul casting demons out of a woman. And we've seen it throughout church history. This ministry still continues. Those of us who have Jesus in our heart have this authority, have this power. John said to us in 1 John 4:4, "Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world." You have the Spirit of God in you, and that is greater than the spirit of the enemy. And He also told us in 2 Timothy through Paul that He has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. And one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible, Revelation 20:10. And I like to point this out to the devil whenever he's harassing me. Let's read it together. "And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet had been thrown, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever." Hey, whenever the devil is giving you a hard time, pull that verse out and read it to him. Because that's where he's going. The lake of fire. Forever. To be tormented. And man, does he deserve it. So where do we start in this ministry? We start with our own families. Start small. Not too long ago, I have a little grandson named Logan, who some of you see around here once in a while, especially if you work back with the kids. And he was here at VBS. He's a cute little guy. And he was having nightmares. You know, the enemy especially likes to harass our children and our grandchildren. He was having nightmares. And so I prayed for Logan. And I went over to his house, and I prayed through his bedroom. And I prayed through his house, and I put a cross right over his bed. Now, folks, I recommend that. Put a cross right over your bed. Mine I got in Bethlehem. It's made out of olive wood. And I got one for all my kids, so they all have it over their beds. And I put this cross over Logan's bed, and I prayed for him. Guess what? The nightmare stopped. Start small. Start with your families. Go through your house. How many of you have traveled outside the United States? You know, when we travel outside the United States, and I've lived outside the United States twice, we tend to collect things from other countries. Folks, some of those things have been associated with satanic rituals. We have to be very careful what we bring into our homes. You need to walk through your house and ask the Holy Spirit to point out anything that you have in your home. And sometimes when we go to garage sales, I like to go to garage sales. Sometimes when we go to the Goodwill, hey, Gail and I find some great stuff at the Goodwill. Okay? But we sometimes bring things home to our houses that have demonic things attached to them. And sometimes we bring demonic things into our homes intentionally. If we have books on witchcraft, sorcery, if you have a Ouija board, folks, destroy those things. Demonic, and I said, don't throw it in the garbage can. Burn it. Don't let anybody else get a hold of it. Destroy it. Demonic things attach to those things. And unwittingly, we can invite these things into our home. Have your home blessed like we're going to do. Because we never know what goes on in a house. I know I've lived in some many old houses. And I've had to go have the church come in and bless them because things were going on in those houses. Have your house blessed. I even do this when I go into a hotel room. I never know what goes on in a hotel room. I pray through the hotel room before I spend a night in it. The enemy can oppress us. He can possess us. Not in our spirits. If we have Jesus in our heart, we can't be possessed in our spirit. But we can certainly be oppressed in our psyche, in our body, like this woman was in the synagogue. He has access to us through sin. He has access to us through the occult, if we get involved in the occult. He has access to us through trauma, especially in childhood. The enemy likes to have access to children through trauma. And he'll attach himself to them through their whole lives. And the only way they can be set free is through the power of God. My rule of thumb in these kinds of things is, If medical science can't treat it, if they try drugs, they try counseling, and there's no relief, then maybe we need to look at the demonic. I'm thinking of depression. I'm thinking of anxiety. I'm thinking of fear. I'm thinking of lust. I'm thinking of suicidal thoughts. Murderous thoughts. Those things come from Satan. They can come from Satan. They can come from psychological things. They can come from chemical things. But if medical science can't treat it, then look at the demonic. The only thing that would have helped that woman in that synagogue was the power of God. No medical science would have been able to help her because it was demonic. No drugs, no surgery. And we have that authority and we have that power to just say to a spirit of fear, to a spirit of depression, to a spirit of anxiety, go in the name of Jesus Christ. And it's helpful sometimes. You can pray for yourself. Sometimes it's helpful to have others pray with you, like a healing team. We have healing teams here. Come and make an appointment. We'll gather. We'll pray with you. And some of you may find that you have a ministry in it. I have a friend here with me today, Suzanne Brown. Suzanne, raise your hand so people, and lift up, stand up so people know you. Suzanne has been where I go to Christian Healing Ministry in Jacksonville, Florida. She lives in Puyallup. She's here this morning supporting me in prayer. She's going to be my prayer partner this morning. And you may find that you have a ministry in this area. Get involved in healing teams. Read up on it. I threw some books up here this morning that I'd recommend. Defeating Dark Angels by Charles Kraft, one of my professors at Fuller. Pigs in the Parlor by the Hammonds, great, great book. And the third one by Francis McNutt, Deliverance from Evil Spirits. These are just some books that you can read and learn and grow in these areas. We're at war. You have authority and power. Use it. Don't be afraid. When you feel fear, it's not God. God has not given you a spirit of fear. Say that spirit of fear, go in the name of Jesus. When you get those lustful thoughts, tell that spirit of lust to go in the name of Jesus. When you get those suicidal thoughts, tell them, go in the name of Jesus. Don't be afraid. Use your power. Amen. Well, we're very grateful at this time of season to have hand sanitizer, okay?
Yes, amen.
And all of our servers of communion use it. So don't be afraid to grab the bread, okay? We have an open communion, which means that anybody who wants to follow Jesus is welcome at our communion table. We don't care what your denomination is or your background is. We have grape juice and bread. We tear the bread off. It's Hawaiian bread. It's tasty. We also have gluten-free bread. And there'll be a station right there for that. We do intinction. You tear off the bread, you dip it into the cup, and you eat it. And we'll have healing teams. Diana and I will have teams. There'll be three teams, I think, this morning, right?
Yes.
So you can come after communion and be prayed for if you'd like to. Come to communion first, and then come for healing. Let's take a moment and just ask the Lord to cleanse us of our sin this morning. There's a suggested prayer up on the board.
And on Super Bowl Sunday today, we read in 1 Corinthians 9:25, everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Now remember, Paul was talking about heavenly rewards, not about earning our salvation. Because in Ephesians 2, Paul reminds us that because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Indeed, our salvation does come through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ that we celebrate today. So turn to someone and say, salvation is God's gift to you. Salvation is God's gift to you.
On the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples. And he said, take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you.